All righty. Good morning to all those in the chat. We got to say good morning to the first comment we got. Who you think it is today, B? It's one of our regulars.
Tay?
Nope.
Locked?
Nope.
Dead?
Nope. The Comandante.
I was about to go next. I can't believe he first.
Commander Tequila is in there first. Says, good morning, Commander's family. Good morning, everybody. If you want to be in the chat, one of these days I'll remember. YouTube.com/@1067TheFan. Did I get it right, Jeff?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Just say that 1067 The Fan YouTube page.
1067 The Fan.
Go to the search thing, put in 1067 The Fan. It'll pop up for you.
All right, B. Who's the best team in football?
Best team in football. Oh, Lord. I don't know. It goes week in and week out. Hell, it may be the damn Commanders, to be honest with you. I still go with the Ravens.
The Ravens?
Yep.
Coming off the Browns loss?
Yeah, I mean, one thing about losing in your division, that's different, bro.
There was a team I thought
some teams overlook them.
You're not saying the Chiefs.
I'm not. I mean, why I say the Chiefs when everybody's going to tell you why, okay, they shouldn't be because they're not playing well, they are the best team in football until somebody else beat them in the Super Bowl.
This is not the week I would have said Ravens. I would probably still say Chiefs because they're undefeated. And
yeah.
To me, winning the games matters. Every week we use NFL.com for our power rankings. And Eric Edholm, we've had on the show. I think he's not trying to be hot takey. He's trying to be legitimate about it. This week he went with the Lions. And I do think the Lions.
Then they put 52 points up on somebody?
Yeah, the Lions are starting to make a real case for it, man.
The Lions are one of those throwback type football teams where in this day
they just won 52-14.
Everybody wants to just toss it around and everybody on defense don't tackle. They will maul you. And they will knock your blank in the dirt. You
Dude,
know what I'm saying? That's what they do.
You ready for a stat? Late in the third quarter of their 52-14 win over Tennessee. And Tennessee's awful. But still, what are you supposed to do? Beat the hell out of bad teams. Late third quarter on Sunday, the Lions had 49 points. What do you think? How many yards do you think Jared Goff had thrown for at that point? 49 points on the board.
And he probably threw for about 100, 200?
57 pass yards.
That's all he had? The
yes.
They were mauling the hell out of him. He ended up with, like, what?
He ended up with 85 passing yards.
Yeah, I remember that now. I remember. Because he was like 12 of 15 for 85 yards, three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah.
12 of 15 for 85 yards
yeah.
and three touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs went 11 for a 127 with a touchdown. David Montgomery went 9 for 33 on the ground with a touchdown. I mean, they are just an absolute freight train. They spread it around a little bit. It helps
and that's
when
another team, just like,
Tennessee had four turnovers, so there's a lot of short fields and stuff.
Yeah, but that means the whole team's playing well. You know, they don't care. You know, they don't care about who gets the credit.
So I maintain that for me it'd be the Chiefs until they lose. They are undefeated. This is the first week where I think there was a stretch in there, maybe when the Ravens beat Washington, honestly, where you could have said the best team in football was the Ravens. The Chiefs went to Vegas and won. And listen, the Raiders are bad, but they always play Kansas City tough. Division games are just different. I'm aware of the picks with Mahomes. It is odd for a guy that's really controlled the football most of his career I think he's leading or at least tied for the lead in the NFL and interceptions thrown. Doesn't that just feel weird to say?
It feels weird to say, but you know what the ultimate thing is? It doesn't make a difference how many yards you throw, how many interceptions you throw, win the damn game.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it down the stretch, he makes all the right plays.
Sure.
You know, as I've said before, if you throw your interceptions early in the game and then you throw touchdowns late, people still praise you. That's what he seems to be doing, unlike some other guys. Like Romo didn't throw a lot of interceptions. But he always threw it at the most inopportune time, which makes people think he was a turnover machine, which he wasn't.
Right now, Baker Mayfield, Pat Mahomes, and Jordan Love are all tied for the NFL lead in picks with 9. And if you care about these things, Love has 9 picks in just 6 games and maybe missing time again. Dak and Gardner Minshew right behind them. I mean, for Mahomes, in his career, the pick numbers, what stands out to me is just that he's on a pace that it would be really high for him.
Yeah.
We'll see if he settles it down. Dude, this is astonishing, Brian. Right now, the Chiefs are 7-0, and for the first time, I'm going to say ever, Mahomes is upside down on TDI and T ratio. He has 8 touchdowns to 9 picks, and they're 7-0.
Yeah.
What if he gets it together?
See, that's the
what
thing
about
it.
What if he tightens up?
See, we have gotten into an era where we just look at stats all the time. But there is something about right now, their passing game is not as good as it is, but they're doing enough other stuff to win.
You think DeAndre Hopkins will make a difference?
Hell yeah. And then once they start throwing the ball around a little bit better, then what the other league, other, rest of the league going to do? You know, it's just there. It's not about the stats or what people think, the analytical mindset of it. How, do you end the game with more points than the other team? It's all that damn matters. And Pat Mahomes and his crew are showing that to you right now.
They got a what could be a pretty cool game, Chiefs-Bucks this weekend. All right, here's what I want to ask you, B. I have not looked. Have you looked? Have you scrolled down on the power rankings yet?
Mm.
Okay, he hasn't.
I haven't even opened it.
Okay, I have it open, but I've only gone through two. The best record in the NFL is the Chiefs, 7-0.
Yep.
The next best record in the NFL is the Lions, 6-1. They only have the one loss. The next group of teams, there's a bunch of teams with only two losses. There's a bunch of 6-2 teams, okay? The Ravens are no longer in this category. They're at 5-3. They have a third loss.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings aren't in this category because they're 5-2. They only have 5 wins. Eagles, 5-2, only 5 wins. A lot of this is dependent on when you had your bye week, right? And yeah. Washington hasn't had theirs. Some teams have. But of the 6-2 teams, B.
Yep.
Steelers, Bills, Packers, Commanders, Texans. 5 teams are 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
How would you stack them up? Because to me, that should be the next batch of teams here. Like, that Ravens loss was bad, and they now have 2 bad losses. You can go Ravens if you want, but the teams with the next batch of best records, there's 5 of them. Washington's in that bunch.
Washington's in that bunch, but you got to realize – people are jumping on the bandwagon now, Washington, but they're not completely on it yet because they're still saying they got to prove it. They're probably going to put the Bills ahead of them. Since the Texans did what they did last year, they may go ahead of them. And I would think that it's a toss-up between them and Green Bay.
All right. 1, Lions. This is NFL.com Power Rankings. 2, Chiefs. 3 is the Bills. Bills kind of went to Seattle and beat Seattle's ass. It was tight for a while, and then they just pulled away late. I think it was the third quarter, they scored, I think, 3 straight touchdowns or had 3 straight scores. Josh Allen's still protecting the ball pretty well. He has the lowest interception percentage rate of his career, and the fumbles aren't there.
Look at that.
Yeah.
He's doing his best, and Pat still got a better record.
Yeah.
Just weird, bro.
I'm reading now, the Bills still live dangerously at times as they made some first-half gaffes that might have sunk another team playing at Seattle. But the Bills, not any other team. They're high on this list, even with their warts, for their ability to overcome penalties and turnovers. And if you miss out on your chances against them, they'll cut you. Their run game is really strong. I really like that kid, Ray Davis. He runs hard. You add Amari Cooper and then Keon Coleman, the Florida State rookie, really starting to kind of perform.
Mm-hmm.
They've won 3 in a row. I think I'm buying this Bills team largely because it seems like Josh Allen more and more is realizing he can't be Superman every play. But that AFC playoffs is such a dogfight that outside of KC, I don't know that you could trust anybody.
If KC keeps winning and you got to go through Kansas City, I feel sorry for Josh. He's going to be very much like Jim Kelly.
Yeah?
You keep dealing with that dude.
I mean, listen to this. The NFC is not – I think the NFC has more depth, but listen to the top heaviness of the AFC. Chiefs are 7-0. They'd get the 1 seed. They'd get the bye. There's a lot of football left, but just saying how it currently projects out. Texans are the 2 seed, 6-2. Steelers are the 3 seed, 6-2. The Steelers with Russ Wilson, this is a different thing. Russ looks like he could play. Tomlin looks like he's calling the right shots there. Bills, 4 seed, 6-2. Then you've got the Broncos at 5-3. The Ravens are now the 6 seed at 5-3. The Chargers are the 7 seed. There will be a lot of movement on this. If the AFC playoffs started right now, you'd have the Broncos going to Buffalo, the Ravens going to Pittsburgh, and the Chargers heading to Houston. What do you think, a hypothetical, understanding that this is a long way off, I don't even know if they've played a regular season game yet. Ravens going to Pittsburgh for a wild card round playoff game. What do you think that line is? So yep. We're talking January 13th. Roughly.
Ravens would go to Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh would be the home team. And I think it would probably be about 3.5 Ravens.
Ravens as underdogs. Or you got the Ravens favored in Pittsburgh.
It would be the favorite.
Wow. I would take the points. That's a sister pick all day, baby.
Yeah.
I don't know that this will come to fruition. I think it's junk that the Commanders in 3 weeks have to play two teams coming off a bye when their bye is not till mid-December, but whatever. Pittsburgh's on a bye this week. Then they're down here to play Washington. They do have the Ravens the following week. I don't think a Mike Tomlin coach team and his record coming off the bye week is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd be looking ahead to a big-time division matchup, but you never know. But honestly, Washington's in a slot now where the notoriety that comes with winning and then especially the exposure that comes from a Hail Mary win like that, nobody's looking past Washington now.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels weird to say, but it's the truth.
Hey, DJ.
All right, 1-2-3 in the NFL Power Ranks goes Lions, Chiefs, Bills. I think you can make an argument about the Bills.
There's Lions, Chiefs, Bills, you say?
There's a whole bunch of teams that are 6-2. At 4B, they actually have the Ravens, who have 3 losses and are coming off a terrible, terrible loss to the Browns. What a difference Jameis makes, but if Kyle Hamilton holds on to that pick, it goes the other way. I think it's football, it's the NFL, you got to expect some weird stuff. Shout out to me, who wanted to bet on the Browns, +9.5. Anti-shout out to Ahmet, who wouldn't let me do it, but it's all right because the Raiders got me home on the weekend parlay. Regardless, Ravens at 4 sound fair to you, even with the loss?
Well, like you say, when you go head-to-head, they did beat us.
Number 5 on this list.
Okay.
Commanders.
Ah.
I read now from NFL.com. When Jaden Daniels is named Offensive Rookie of the Year, we'll look back at Sunday's Hail Mary as the moment he really pulled away. Daniels, who seemed unlikely to even suit up for the contest throughout much of last week, outgunned Caleb Williams for most of the game, but still needed the rabbit to come out of the hat. There was luck, sure, but Daniels also made that play happen by wearing out the Bears rushers, keeping a confused secondary in scramble mode, and delivering a well-placed teardrop that was tipped into the hands of Noah Brown. Clearly, Washington practiced that one well. One play, you saw the seeds of the offseason plan paying off. The significant coaching upgrade, the brilliance of the Daniels pick, and the payoff of a slew of hungry veterans such as Brown, all filling key roles for a 6-2 football team. Don't forget a game defense that has now turned in impressive showings in 4 of the past 5 games. This team is real. What do you say to that, B?
I agree. I mean, you got to, at this point, you have to give them their due. You know, what we always say, I wait after 4 weeks. They're at 8 weeks now. And they're still doing these things. And you look at a game when they end up getting the game, you know, it's a miracle thing in the end, but still, didn't play their best, but kept themselves in the game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the sign of good teams. Good teams always have a chance, you know.
If you look at the last 5 games, they've held their opponent under 20 points 4 out of 5 times. They've held them under 15 points 4 out of 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
The only team that was able to score on them was the Ravens. And that game was probably a lot closer till the fourth quarter. Two teams have been able to score on them really this year is Cincy, Baltimore, and Tampa. Sorry, I said two. I meant three. I think this team, the way they're playing now, is significantly different. If you do, it's weird because there's a 17th game now, but the way coaches talk about this is you divide it up into quarters. Mm-hmm. The first quarter of the season, Washington was offensively driven, right? Like they could just outscore. The second quarter of the season, this past month, all of a sudden, their defense is playing pretty well. Their defense has climbed up to 10th in the league in points allowed, 13th in yards allowed.
Defense playing well, but offense did not look bad either.
Sure.
So, and I think when your offense can put up points like they have, you allow your defense freedom. You know, and then the way that they have drives of 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, the offense is on the field fresh. I mean, the defense is on the field fresh.
Complimentary football,
yes,
man.
Yes, yes.
I do wonder kind of what happens. You know what you'd love to hear today or see today? That Brandon Coleman is cleared from concussion protocol.
Cool.
Well, we don't know that that's going to happen. I think today would be the day where you hear it. But this Cornelius Lucas thing, I saw him leave the locker room with a boot on his foot. I think if you don't have Coleman and you have Lucas, you're cool. If you don't have Lucas and you have Coleman, you're cool. You don't have either of those guys, and then it's Trent Scott starting against this Giants D-line. I do think you'd be better off knowing it ahead of time and being able to game plan for it.
Didn't Lawrence get a little banged up the other night?
Dexter?
I saw him like limping off the field.
He was in there at the end. Okay. He was dominant as usual. And that, you know, Dexter's more of a problem for Biotish and Alec Reddy.
I'm not worried about no problem. Biotish is okay.
Yeah. Lawrence is a player, but Trent Scott had some trouble the other night against Chicago, and you'd love to hear Coleman's clear. But, B, I just pulled this up.
One of them will be ready, Jay. Think positive.
I think we hear that Coleman's clear today, honestly. That's what my gut and my intuition is telling me. Of the power rankings, Commanders at 5, and I think that's legitimate. Rounding out the top 10, Green Bay at 6. Jordan Love, injury. This will now be a second injury this year. It's a little weird. Vikings at 7. You wonder if they call the face mask in the end zone, but still, it would have been first to goal from the 20, or first and 10 from the 20 with like 30 seconds left. Houston at 8. How big of a deal do you think this Steph Diggs situation is? Done for the year?
Oh, he's done for the year. That's huge. But, I mean, the thing about it is they wanted Steph to come in and do some things, but they were good already.
Yeah, but now Nico's out too. You need Collins back.
If Nico's out, the way Mixon's running the football. Yeah. If Nico's going to be coming back, he's not out for the year.
No, I think he's supposed to be back within the next 2 weeks.
So they'll be, and they run the ball effectively too.
Dude. Pittsburgh at 9, I think people might be sleeping on Pittsburgh. Russ looks somewhere between good and good enough.
I think Russ, as the quarterback, makes that team more dangerous than it was at Fields.
They have a vertical passing attack, yeah. And you don't have that with Fields.
You got to at least say Russ is no longer an alien.
He seems to be an earthling. But, dude, Highsmith, everybody talks about Watt, who's fantastic. I mean, he had the strip sack on Daniel Jones. Watt is fantastic, but Highsmith is out of this world good, too.
Yeah.
And when you have two bookends like that, Hayward in the middle, Minka on the back end, that defense is so loaded. I am really fascinated to see what that looks like in 2 weeks against Washington. But, B, I pulled this up. We went through the AFC scenarios. Give me a line. You ready? If the NFC playoffs started today, and they don't, but just as a fun exercise, the Lions would be the one seed, they'd get the bye. Your Washington Commanders would be the 2 seed. Mm-hmm. They would host the 7 seed. You know who that would be if it started today? The Eagles.
All right.
Set the line.
If they would be hosting them, I'm going
Washington by 4.
Washington minus 3.5.
Yeah, I think that's about right. When we come back, we might ask an expert. Neil Greenberg joins the program.